Negayim Yud Gimel Mishnah Dalet. So what we've been talking about until now are the two periods. We've actually spoken about the third period, but let's talk about the two periods of Hezger, of Abayit. And that would mean that we have the concept also of a Muzger and a Mukhlat. How do we have a concept of a Mukhlat by Abayit? Very simple. If, let's say, there was a Pisayon at the end of the Hezger Rishon, so then that means that we do our first Chalitza, put it back into Hezger. If it's Chozer, at that point the Kohen comes, he says, this house has to be destroyed. So then that is called Mukhlat, until you get around to destroying it. So it's going to have different dinim of Tuma than the Bayit Muzgar will have, as we'll see. Furthermore, if we had the situation in which at the end of the second Hezger there was a Pisayon, so then we could also have a situation where a Bayit would be Mukhlat at the end of the third Hezger. In both of those cases, the house is called a Mukhlat, in the same way that a Mitzorah is called Mukhlat, without anything to do, of course, with tearing him apart the way we would with the Bayit. But this, the terminology is still appropriate. So therefore, we could say a Bayit that is Muzgar in any of the three Hezgers that we do for a Bayit, that Bayit is Mitame, actually Bemaga. So now, if somebody touches the walls of that house, on the inside of the house, even if he didn't walk into the house, he just touches it, he will be mittame from the wall. If he touches it on the outside, he will not be mittame. But if it's a bayit mukhlat, then it doesn't matter where he touches it. If he touches it on the inside, he touches it on the outside, it's still going to be tame. Both a bayit muzgar and a bayit mukhlat are going to be metame somebody who walks into the house, because then it says, haba el abayit kol yemei hezgero. It's beferish that there's hezger tuma by walking in. That walking in is called tumat bi'a. It's not the same as tumat ohel, as we are going to see the halachas in detail. Okay, Mishnah Hey, Mesechet Negaim. Since we're talking about, still, the process of defining the Hechlet, which means that there's a period in which I took out the stones, and now I rebuilt the house, what happens? I'm waiting to see if they're going to be Chozer, okay? What happens if somebody takes out some of the stones that are currently Muzgar? They're not Mukhlat. And he builds another house with them, puts them into another house. And now we look and we see that the Nega went back and it was Chozer. It came back to the house. Remember that a Chozer could be in a different space, doesn't matter, anywhere in that house. And it was Chozer. Chozer a Nega Labayit. So then the halacha is that he has to be Choletz et Avanim. And since the original house is now considered, this is the first Hezger, the original house is now Tomei, so then you have to take out the stones from the new house, because those stones were waiting for us to see whether they were Tomei or Tar. Now that we're b'chai of that house to be Nechlat, because of the Chozer, so then we're going to have to get rid of the stones in the new house as well. Now, how about if the Nega is Chazar al Avanim? Suppose the Nega comes back onto, when we say Chozer, remember, it doesn't mean Chozer to the same place, necessarily. It just means it comes back to something that was in that house. So if the Mokum that it was Chozer to is, strangely enough, on the stones that were removed from the Bayit that was Muzgar, and that were built into a house 100 miles away, then nonetheless, the halacha is that the first house where these stones originally were is got to be destroyed, because now the Nega has come back to that house by appearing in these stones that are now 100 miles away in a different house. But in this case, don't destroy the stones in the new house, not yet. Why? Because since the Nega was closer to the new house, we now have to wait and see what's going to be the din in the new house. Because these simonim of a nega in the new house are like a nega in that house that has originally appeared in that house, right? So in the interim, these stones, avanim yishamshu at abayit hasheni b'simanim, we're going to have to put the new house into Hezger, See what happens at the end of the first week of Hezker vis-a-vis this new nega for the second house, 100 miles away. And then in the end, we're going to find out what the din is of that house. But whatever the din is of that house, for sure we're going to have to get rid of these stones. But don't do it yet, because you want to know what's going to happen. So if the nega will go away, let's say it will be keha at the end of the first week, so then the new house will not be tameh. But we're still going to have to take it out. Let's say it continues. Then we have to put it to Asker. And then we would see that we'd have already the need for tzipporim, because we had this in the new house that has a new nega. Whatever the case would be. Only at the end, when we've determined the status of the second house, do we then go and destroy these avonim that definitely needed to be destroyed anyway, because they were a chozer on the first house. Okay. Now, let's talk about the din of a bayit which subsumes another bayit. In other words, we have an ohel which subsumes the bayit which is the ohel that is tame. So a bayit which is meisech agabe bayit haminuga. So we have a tohar house that is built over this room that has a nega in it. So that we've got a nega house inside of a house that does not have a nega on it. Or for that matter, it could be a tree. It doesn't have to be another building. An ilan, which is meisech agabe bayit haminuga. It's a large tree and it covers over this room that you have that has a nega. So then the halacha is that if somebody walks into the area of the outside tree or of the subsuming space of the big cathedral that's built around this little house, so then a nichnas lechitzon is tohor, because the tumah remains inside the house, does not go outside of the house. Right? So this is, the Baruch Tanura makes a comparison to today's Gemara, where we had the Mishnah in Ohalos, right? That's exactly today's Gemara. If you had the tumah on the lower story, so that it doesn't go out to the upper story. Fascinating. Okay, so if that's the case, there would be no problem. So Taina's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Omar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar disagrees. And he says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah can be shown as being completely wrong by a simple kal vachomer. Ma im even achat mimenu, mitam me bevia. Look, we're going to see later on. If a single stone taken out of a house that is afflicted with a nega, right? So what's the halacha over there? It will make that house, everything in that house, tame. Because even one stone from a bayit makes it tame. Remember at the shir of a kezayit, we'll speak about it again. So ma'im even achat mimenu metame bevia. So the whole house is not going to be metame? Hu atzmo lo yetame bevia? Does that make sense to you? So the whole house should definitely be sufficient to be metame, the area under the tree, as if a single stone from the house was be able to be metame everything under the tree. And therefore, it doesn't make sense to say that there's no tumah. So Taina's Rabbi Elazar. Mishnah Zion. Now, we know that the halacha is that the mitzora himself, benogea an adam, who has a tzaraz ba'or b'sorai, so we learn out from the pasuk of michutz lamachane moshavo, that means his moshav itself is tameh. And that's why he has to be michutz lamachane moshavo, in the same way that we have to take out the stones to a mokom tameh. The mitzora himself, his moshav is considered to be tameh. So then that means that anything that would be together with the mitzora, and we're going to see the same is true about the house, which is affected by the tzaraz, is considered to be tameh. But as opposed to the dinim of ohel, this has to be his personal moshavo. Let's imagine a case where a mitzora happens to wander by a tree that somebody else is under. Now, obviously, if you brought a kezayis ben amet into that situation, everything under the tree would instantly be tameh. Doesn't matter if it's walking along, right? But since over here it's a din in the moshav, it definitely does matter. And if the mitzora was just walking by, he's not going to be tameh anything. He would have to first sit still so that it becomes makom moshavo. So let's imagine a case like this. You've got a tree. You've got a tame omed, meaning the mitzora is omed. He's standing still under the tree. And somebody who's tor is passing by under the tree. Then the tor person is tame, because he passed by the makom moshavo of the mitzora. It doesn't say anything about him needing to sit still. So he was in that bayit. How about vice versa, where you have somebody whose Torah is standing still under a tree, and a mitzora walks by, hatame tahar. So then he's still tahar, because there was no makom moshavo of the mitzora. So at this point, since the person who was tame wasn't in moshav, it wasn't moshav. Okay, this is true not only about the classic case of the human mitzora, it's exactly true about a stone from a house that had a nega in it. V'chein be'even ha'minugat. We treat the even ha'minugat exactly the same way. And therefore, if the person is holding, let's say, an even ha'minugat, and he's carrying it, and he walks by, it would still be tahar. A person who is standing under that tree is still going to be tahar, because it's not moshavo. So we learn out one from the other. The idea of a boel abayit is still related to the concept of moshavo of the mitzora. But iminicha, if he put that stone down for a second, for that matter, I mean, he didn't have to literally put it down. He could have stood still himself. It would be tame for the same reason. Mishnah chet. Now, when it comes to abayit haminugat, the Torah says, strangely, two completely different dinim. So it says, Habal abayit kol yemei izgiroto yitma ad ha'arev. So if you walk into it, so then you would be tame. Mashma that, any type of walking into it. So first let's decide, because very strangely the Torah then says, well, if you lie down in the house or you eat in the house, then you're matame begonim shalav. That we'll discuss in a moment. But first let's define, what do we mean by Habal abayit? Because, I mean, we have the question about a tum. I'm sorry, I didn't say. What? I didn't. Sorry? That's what I'm about to explain. I'm explaining Mishnah Chet. Please let me finish. So the first thing that we need to define is, maybe I didn't say it's Mishnah Chet. Okay, Mishnah Chet. Okay, sorry. Okay, so Negayim Perak Yud Gimel Mishnah Chet. So since the Torah says Haba El Habayit, we need to define what do we mean by Haba El Habayit, as opposed to the other issues of somebody who's sleeping in the house or somebody who's eating in the house, which we'll discuss in a moment. What is Ba? So suppose you just put in your finger into the house. Will that make you Tameh? Well, Tahar Sheikh Nis Rosh Ova Ruba El Habayit Tameh. The shear of being metame as a baal abayit is that your head and most of your body comes into the bayit. We have a similar halacha question about a tummy that's nichlas the Beis HaMikdash. Is Bia B'miktsas considered to be an act of Bia into the Beis HaMikdash or not? But over here, the shear is Rosh of Aruba. And it works in both directions. So if a person who is tummy is machlis Rosh of Aruba into a bayit that was tahor, he makes that bayit tameh. So either the Torah that comes in, it becomes tameh, or the Torah that tameh that comes in makes the bayit tahor. Now, what about when it comes to Tumas Begadim? We've spoken about Adam. We've spoken about the bayit. What about a talit? So in the case where you have a talit which is tahor, how much of the talit that would come into a tameh house would be considered to be able to be mittameh? So if you put in the shear of a beged, which is 3 by 3 etzbaot, into the bayit tameh, that is mittameh the beged, because even though it's not most of it, it's itself ro'ui to be a beged. What about if it would be actually most of it? Even then, if it were smaller than shalosh al shalosh, that becomes the equivalent of nichnas kulay, and the halacha there is also that it would be tame. So it's not only 3 by 3 etzbaot. So it becomes tame. In the case of the beged, which is tmeah, So now we have a beged that is saras, not a beged that's tor. Now we're going to the case where the beged itself is the mocker of the tzarat, and you brought in a kezayis of it. Then the kezayit does not have to be a shir of shalash shalas. It's a din in a kezayis, as we saw before. We learned this out of the comparison of al natihi kemet, which was said by Miriam. And that means that we have a hekesh between tumas meis and the din of negayim. So therefore, the shir of something to be metami as a nega is a kezayit. And if you were machnis a kezayit into a bayit, which is tahar, then that's the same as an adam mitzorat coming into a house, and he's metame everything in the house. Amazing. Okay, now we get into the strange two dinim in the Torah. Habal abayit, we just spoke about in Mishnah Chet, now we're in Mishnah Tet. Habal abayit kol yemei his giroto yitmada orev. And then the next pasuk says, but if you lie down in the house, then you have to wash your clothing. And if you eat in the house, v'ochel b'bayit, yechabes et bigadav. Now, this is very strange. First of all, then we just say that if anything comes into the house, even if it's a jacket or a shirt, that it's tame the moment that it comes in with a shear of 3x3. So I understand if a guy is wearing a shirt, so then it's much more than 3x3. And yet it says only if he lies down or eats in the house is he going to be tame. And, I mean, is there really a din of eating? That the eating is metameyu? I mean, whoever heard of such a thing? So what does this actually mean? So basically, the way that Chazal explained, and we've had this many, many times, is that it depends whether the clothing is separate from your body or whether it's bottled to your body. So surprisingly, if the shirt comes into the house on its own, it immediately becomes tamei, just as if you came in on your own. But if you're wearing the shirt, then the shirt does not become tame because it's bottled to your body, and your body cannot be metame the shirt because the shirt is not makabel tuma from anything less than an avatuma. And in that case, in order for you to reach the level of tuma that would be metame begadav is only if you were in the house long enough, because we've already seen the concept of the moshav, so that there's a concept of what bia means in terms of it being a mokum kavua of the tzarat. In this case, it works in the other direction as well. For the person who's coming into the house of the mitzvah, if he sticks around long enough that he would be able, remember we had this gemara before when we were talking about the shiurim, and we said that the shiurim are all merumas in the posik of Eretz, Chita, Vesora, remember? That was the remez of the Chita. And what was that? So the idea of somebody who eats in the house is a reference not to mamish eating, but to be there long enough for what it would take to eat the shir of a chatzi pras of lechem, which is chita, and so on. That is this Mishnah, and we just had this Mishnah in Masechet Sukkah before. So, Misha nichnas lebayat haminuga, somebody walks into a house that has tzarat, and he's carrying his clothing. He just came out of the swimming pool. So he's got his clothing on his shoulders. He's got his sandals and his jewelry he's holding in his hands. He's not wearing anything. And he walks into the house, everything becomes tame instantly. But how about if he's not coming in from the swimming pool? He's just walking into a house and he's dressed and he's wearing his sandals on his feet and he's got his jewelry on, he's got his rings on his hands. So then only he becomes tame right away. But the things that he's wearing, the clothing, the sandalim, the taba'ot, all of those things remain tahar until he is in the house long enough to eat a kedei achilas pras. So then he would have to be eating the chatzi pras. The standard pras is shmona beitzim or shesh, is machlok, is six or eight. So a chatzi pras would be four, according to Rashi, three according to other shitas. But in any event, he would have to eat pat chitim, lo pat saorim. So we're talking about something that is easy to eat, as opposed to barley, which is more difficult to eat, takes a little bit longer. So this is a chumrah, that you'll become tar even in a shorter time. And we're talking about while he would be mesav, while he's lying down, eating normally, concentrating on his eating. Furthermore, he's Ochlan Beliftan. He's eating it together with something that makes it easier to consume. So it's got some jam on it. It's got some butter on it. And that is the shear. This was the shear, remember, we just had back in Masechet Sukkah. All right, so we've got some fascinating ideas over here of the way that somebody who's wearing something actually prevents the tumah from being chal on it, as opposed to helping the tumah from being chal on it. Wow, we're going to see more implications of that halacha coming up, Bezrat Hashem.